Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, guide and direct us and give us clear understanding as we seek the fullness of knowing our Lord God Jesus, in whose name we pray, amen. Events in Australia have my attention, as they have been dealing with 1.5 years of government lockdowns in some areas. These were things they never thought they would see in that country, but they have become a reality for them. There was once a saying among soldiers that the one that you don't see coming is the one that gets you. And this idea leads right into the idea of preparedness. You know, to take a moment to think about what might be coming at you and get ready for it. See, we always think about our immediate concerns about what is coming at us. Like we buy gas before our gas gauge is on empty. We buy food and beverages when we know something is coming up. And we have warm clothes if we're taking a trip to the snow. You see, we do think about getting ready. It's just that we don't think in the long term about what it means to get ready. Not as much as some people do anyway. But let me mention something that may or not be a concern to you, and that is we have inflation. Inflation is here, but it's still not as great as it seems to be coming our way. Still, if you are earning more income because of inflation, you may have to pay more money in taxes. It might boost you into a higher tax bracket, and that means your withholding or your quarterly tax estimates might not be enough. You might have taxes due. So just keep that in mind if you have had an increase in your income. It will probably put you into a higher category tax-wise. Okay, so back to our everyday purchases. We ought to be aware that nowadays, not everything is available. We are having shortages. Days ago, years ago, we used to buy everything we needed whenever we needed it. But today, things are changing. And what we want or what we need might not be available when we need it. So, just that's another part of preparedness, is to think about those things that are essential and having a little bit on hand for just in case. The general public is noticing how these days freedoms are diminishing. They are getting restricted. And we've kind of gotten used to wearing a mask or being allowed into a certain store or not, or so many people at a time. So we're getting used to some things, but there still are concerns that people are having. We're seeing increasing prices, and some areas have increasing violence. It's just we're starting to notice that things are changing. A lot of people are not pleased with the changes. They're not pleased with 1 million migrants coming into our country either. There's people who say that will suppress our wages. But a million people coming into this country, that's legally. And there are an estimated several more million that have already crossed our southern border illegally. And there are concerns that many people are having. It just, which ones are affecting you? That seems to be the critical issue. And still, people are not pleased at the direction our country is going, and there are parents who are upset about the critical race theory being taught to their young children. and you know that there are parents who are raising their voices at the school board meetings, and the federal government does not like that there are angry parents. And so they've suggested to the FBI that these angry parents might possibly be domestic terrorists. And so if you've had an angry outburst, you might be on the FBI watch list. It's just an indication of how our country is changing. And plenty of people are not happy about that. They're not happy about the vaccine mandates. And they also don't like that children aged 5 to 11 will be required to get the COVID vaccine, in all likelihood. So they're just things that are going on, and people are getting unhappy with the way that the requirements are. And you know that there was been unhappiness in the past when there was the airlines strike went on, and you know that there's quite a few people who are leaving their jobs rather than getting the jab. And these issues are, in a way, they're dividing our country. And a lot of people are protesting, but the news does not show it. Around the world, there are tens of thousands of people who are marching in the big cities. Big like Rio de Janeiro, Paris, and Rome, and Athens, and Berlin. But they're not shown on the news. You have to look for that information if you want to find the pictures of the tens of thousands of people protesting. We also don't see the protests in this country. It's going on. It's just that we are not allowed to see it. The media doesn't show it to us. So we are having more effect on this and that, and more people are getting concerned with the loss of liberty that we are having. Of course, the politicians want what they want, and the loss of our liberty doesn't seem to make much difference to them. They are willing to enforce their mandates by force. More than a few politicians are saying, if you want normal to return, you must do what we say. And that might be going through a lockdown or wearing a mask or whatever it turns into. Getting vaccinated is now the thing. But we do have to wonder what it will turn into. Will the vaccine requirements just keep getting more and more stringent? What will the long-term testing really be? And we're dealing with that and trying to figure out if we are going to go along with it or not. And most of the country seems to be. Why? Because nobody wants their freedoms restricted. We want to live in the easy living manner that we've done. We've been able to go shopping when we want, go to concerts or public events or all sorts of things. We don't want to have restrictions on our life. And that's why they say, you want things to get back to normal? Well, just do what you're told. And so many of us are. But I can't help but think, if one day we will be told, if you want things to go back to normal, you have to get the mark just to be able to do what you used to do. Well, of course, that's a little stretch, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was coming. Among Christians, it is not an unusual discussion to have, because we are more aware that there will be the mark of the beast. And we don't know quite what it'll be or when it will be. But the vaccine appears to be getting us prepared to take the mark because it's required. And we're just trying to deal with it and understand what it all means. But I think one of the indicators of what's going on is Australia. See, a part of what's going on in Australia is they start out with one thing and it turns into something else. I guess that's what happened in America also. But Australia too. You see, they started out with 7 days to slow the spread, and that turned into 77 days, and then it turned into more. And now the civil authorities in Australia are giving more and more reasons about why they should be restricted. In Australia's big cities, they are divided into sections to prevent the spread of COVID among people who know each other. And so those couple of big cities in Australia, there are police barricades set up, and people are not allowed to cross the barricades. And therefore, friends cannot visit friends, and family cannot visit family if they are not in the same sector of the city. They are allowed to go up to the barricades and speak to each other across the barricades, but there's no hugs, no handshakes, and no going to that other person's home. It's a change. It is restrictions being put upon the people, and there have been some very large mass protests, demonstrations against the restrictions. And maybe you saw the video footage and you know what happened. The videos show that the police used force upon the citizens. And of course, the civil authorities had to maintain order because that's what they do. And so they imposed their dictates upon the people. And more force was used. The police got to the point where they were firing rubber bullets at protesters. And of course, we do assume that the authorities made the correct decision because they're the authorities and they must enforce the law to keep the public safe. And by the way, this is a question that people are wondering. What is the correct role of government? Is it the correct role of those authorities to keep people safe? Or is the role of the authorities to keep people free? If they're going to keep us safe, where does that stop? You know how many people die every year from all sorts of things? It's not COVID. It's heart disease. It's lung cancer. It's all sorts of things. Automobile accidents kill a tremendous lot of people. So are they going to keep us safe, or are they going to keep us free? Well, we certainly have a debate, don't we? We have it going on in our own country, and we have examples from around the world. And Australia is a Western nation, and to see what they are going through just makes you wonder if it might happen here in the USA. So let me describe some of the restrictions that have been imposed upon the provinces of New South Wales and Victoria, Australia. Well, the police can knock on your door to check on your vaccination status. And employers can demand you to be vaccinated. Even in their parliament, the members of parliament must be vaccinated in order to be in the parliamentary chamber. And the members of parliament cannot vote by telephone or in writing. They must be present in the parliament building to vote. So that means they have to be vaccinated in order to vote and represent the people. Yeah, it's affecting a whole lot of people, the rules and regulations. And in Australia, no one is even allowed to get a haircut if they are not vaccinated. It's becoming known as a policy of no shot, no shop. So, no shot, and you can't go shopping. And those rules, laws, are now in effect until 2023. If you don't have a shot, you will not be allowed to have basic shopping services. Where is it going? Where will it end up? Good question. Well, those provinces, New South Wales and Victoria, in Australia, have a system to ensure compliance. The citizens must enter their QR code if they go into a store or make purchases. QR stands for quick response. So they enter that into the little machine and it approves or disapproves. To many people, it's right along the line of show me your papers, please. You remember in the 1940s that was shown in movies where the authorities would demand that you show them your papers, please. And if you didn't have the correct papers, you were taken to jail. You were arrested. And often enough, a person would rather run away. And they did, and they were shot. So this is kind of an interesting thing, to get shot with a bullet or shot with a vaccine. Well, excuse me, that was anyway. So these are the kind of restrictions that are going on in Australia right now to show your quick response code, or you cannot be free to move about and go shopping where you want. Let's see. Lee Dundas is an activist reporter and is talking about the CDC's VIRS website. And she was saying that it's indicating that many thousands of people have died in the USA from the vaccine by their own CDC data. She's not alone in saying that. There are other professionals, health professionals, that are agreeing with that statement. Tens of thousands have died from it already, and they just cannot understand why the vaccine is being imposed upon our public. Well, let's see. Let's go back to Australia for a minute. I kind of got distracted there. Well, in Australia, there is a Christian ministry called Discover Ministry. And about 2 weeks ago, they put a video out saying that they wanted at least part of their operation to move to the United States, where there was more freedom than Australia. And don't you know that Australia is known as a nation of freedom-loving people? And yet, they have had restrictions in recent decades. Yes, this COVID one, but before that, there was a very strong movement to outlaw guns in that country. Well, actually, they did. They did outlaw guns in that country. And there has been this kind of a popular saying that, why do politicians want to outlaw your guns? Is so that they can make you do what you never would allow if you had a gun. Yeah, it's kind of funny to say that, but it's interesting. By the way, in the USA, the government statistics show that there has been a 50% increase in gun purchases this year from last. And by races, I guess everything's divided by race now, but the statistics say that it's a 49% increase in whites, 59% increase among blacks, and a 43% increase among Asians. So it's kind of across the board, a 50% increase in gun ownership over the last year, or from the year before. So what's going on that our country is getting so concerned and so divided? It's a lot of things. And yes, the vaccine is a part of it. So people don't like to take an experimental mRNA vaccine. But that's going on all over the world. I just told you about the protests a few minutes ago. Well, it does get my attention how many people are saying that they will not take that vaccine. Every kind of person, working people, professional people, and medical people. There's a lot of people who are saying they would rather lose their job than to take the vaccine. So, yeah, it's they see problems with it. And still it's being forced upon us. You know that it is. Lots of problems with that vaccine of all sorts. The data just doesn't seem to be available for what the actual problems are. They are kept kind of hidden. The media doesn't report it, and the CDC doesn't report, or they don't make it easy to see the reports. And this is going on at a time when there are quite a few researchers and doctors who are saying that the vaccine appears to be greatly shortening a person's lifespan. Greatly? Extremely greatly, by some accounts. So we just have a hard time finding what the actual answers are, though. The information is hidden. There are questions, but no real answers, because the information is hidden. How sad. Well, people die all the time. You know, we don't know what the real answer to when we're going to die is, but the best answer I can think of is to know Jesus, because we all die. We just don't know when. It can be a short life or a long life, and the best answer is to know Jesus, and then you have eternal security. But I certainly know people are afraid of death, and I don't blame anybody. It's something that is unknown. We've never done it before. So, of course, we're scared of it. We just don't want to have something new that is unknown. And that's why people want to live forever. It's also because they fear the judgment of God. That's another reason why they don't want to die. Well, I think of Revelation 6:16, and it tells us how there are people who call for the mountains and the rocks to fall upon them so that they will be hid from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb of God. There's a Luke 23:30 that has a similar statement about the mountains. The person is saying, fall on us and cover us, apparently there too, so that they don't want Jesus to see them. Well, it is future. these things are future, and we certainly don't know when they will happen, but a lot of people think it's soon, and a few people don't. So that means it's unknown. When will these things occur? Well, we know a few things. That everyone so far who has lived, well, almost everybody, you know, Enoch, but anyway, we know that death is a certainty for us to count on. And so a part of that is we want to go to heaven and have that relation with Jesus. And that's what we do. We don't want to go to that terrible hot place of hell where there is no goodness whatsoever. No, we want the goodness of God in heaven. So let's choose, actively choose heaven. And that means to actively choose Jesus and then live like you mean it. Yes. God is so amazing that he provides us with so many good things. And there's mysteries too. I mean, I think of Bible mysteries. Like there are three persons in one God. It's a mystery. How can there be Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in one God? But it's true because the Bible says it. We have learned that the Bible is true over and over again. We get that lesson. So we learn to trust it. Trust and obey. Yep. Well, we are thankful that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He shed our blood for our sin. And so we will declare him as our Savior. We confess our sin and are born again, like John 3:3 says. That's the process that we want to be a part of to declare Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And then I think we want to live in holiness. Yep, that's the idea. And we read the Bible so that we can be more familiar with what pleases God and how to live. We certainly ought to be aware of how we live. And that goes on with all of us. We search our hearts and our minds and align our hearts and our minds with what pleases Jesus. That's what we do. You know, there are people in the world who try to confuse us, especially us Christians, because we are already spiritually minded. And there are people who are tricky. There are demons who are tricky, and they try to turn you to something else, to mislead you. And that's a part of why Bible reading is such a good thing, is because we get to know the nature of Jesus and his characteristics. And knowing these things, we are not misled by a false Jesus, somebody who claims to be Jesus, or a cult leader, or some kind of a demonic spirit. That's what we want to do, is be so close to Jesus that we are not misled. I know that in my Bible reading, I have found it such a good idea to pray before and after I read the Bible. It just makes things more clear, just to pray before and after kind of focuses my mind, and certainly I would suggest anybody would do that. It's a good thing. Scripture is, in a way it's simple, and in a way there's a lot to it. I think it's not meant to deceive, or let's see, it should not mislead anybody. Scripture is simple, and we keep having many things spoken to us through Scripture. And that's so that we can conform our life to the image of Christ. And it's a long process. It starts someplace, and then it just keeps going as we allow Jesus to be our life. It's a thrilling and wonderful, fulfilling journey of life. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may you, listeners, be blessed with the love of Jesus. Sometimes I think about how important it is to pray, and that Ephesians 6:10 talks about praying constantly. And there really are a lot of prayers that we can have constantly if we just let prayer interact with our mind. When something, a thought comes into our mind, we can respond to it with prayer. Prayer for a situation, prayer for a person, prayer for, well, you can see what I mean. Just keep active in your prayer life. It's a part of Christian principles that we pray for people. Oh, we pray for the world to be a better place. And you know, if the world was Christian, faithful Christian followers, it would be a better place. So pray for people and also have acts of compassion, wise compassion. Yes, and God does care about the things in our life and the sorrows also. He cares. And it's demonstrated in Psalm 56:8, where it says that God keeps our tears in a bottle. And that, to me, demonstrates caring. And so does, there's a Revelation 21:4. It talks about no more tears. And that also, to me, demonstrates the compassionate heart of God for us. And still we have things to go through. We are called upon to endure to the end, and that's Matthew 24:3. He that endures to the end shall be saved. And we just don't know the quite order of things. But however the length of time we live or what is in front of us, we want to faithfully endure. And that faithfulness will lead us to victory. Victory in Jesus. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And for there to be a victory, it means there must be a struggle. And that's a part of what we go through in life. We have struggles. Things are not easy. And when we do things according to God's Holy Bible, we find out that we are victorious. And so that's a part of that victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:57. So, we will have struggles. That's just life. We struggle and we have victories and we learn as we go how to battle and how to follow Christ. All these things are true, and that's what we do. That's our Christian path. And freedom is a part of our Christian path also. When we have the freedom to do what we desire and choose to follow Jesus Christ, now that's freedom to do what we want to do, and God strengthens us to do that. Thank you, Lord. See, in the 1700s, there were two revolutions going on. One was the French Revolution, and one was the American Revolution. And the slogan for the French Revolution was liberty, equality, and brotherly fraternity. And the French Revolution did have good results and gave liberty to its citizens, but it was a bloody revolution. It was not God-focused. And so in their active part of that revolution, 17,000 people were condemned to die, many of them by the guillotine. But that's the difference between the French Revolution and their so-called Reign of Terror, when 17,000 people died, and the American Revolution. The American Revolution had God and God's holiness in that revolution so that we could be a part of God's kingdom and share Jesus Christ with the world. That is a part of the people who were active in the American Revolution. They wanted Jesus Christ to be known by the world. It's not a quick thing that you can explain. You can't explain this, but if you read their writings, if you read the books about them, you know it's true. Yes, I've done a lot of reading, and I know it's true. And there's an evidence of this because, you know, there were 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. And of those, 37 of them were, they had something that was equal to a seminary degree. 37, yes. And 29 of those had an actual ministry degree. So you know that Christianity was a part of our American Revolution because there were dedicated Christians involved in it. We have the indicators. It's pretty hard today, though, because today there are people who say our founders were not Christian. But that's mostly not true. It's a lie. But it's still, how do you prove it? And sure, you hear people talk about it. You hear them talk about it, that they were not Christian. And maybe you hear me or other people say that the founders were Christ-oriented people. It's hard to explain things in just a few minutes. It's hard to give a history lesson about the revolution of America and what the founders desired. It's not easy, and so somehow we are left to listen to the authorities. Many of them are in school. They teach. They have books. They have written books. And so who are we going to rely on to get our information? Because most people don't want to study books. They don't want to read a lot of information, digest it, and understand it. But that's what I've done for a whole lot of my life. And so it's kind of easy for me, but it's still not easy to tell you why this is true. A lot of people they believe the New World authorities. I don't know the answer for that one. All I can think of, pray for your own understanding and then look out for what's coming our way, because there's a lot of people who want to change our Constitution. They want to change our country, and they're actively working on it. And we have to hold to our Christian principles so that we maintain our freedom to worship Christ Jesus. Well, we also have to be careful about what we are told. We are told a lot of different things about about everything. Who are you going to believe? The authorities? Well, just look out. Look out, because there's a lot of people who have conflicting information. One of the things to remember about Christianity is we don't need to change things. After all, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And forever. That's what Hebrews 13:8 tells us. And you know that it's true by the biblical examples. God stays the same. And therefore, we do not need any new constitution. We do not need any new ideas of Christianity. We do not need some people call it a fresh anointing. And I'm not sure really what that means, because different people have different answers. But we can rely on the same God, Jesus and Holy Spirit, that there has always been. He doesn't change. We can rely on our God. We don't need a brand new, fresh Jesus. Oh, we certainly don't. Well, there's lots of ideas. Old Solomon, remember King Solomon? He says there is nothing new under the sun. That's from Ecclesiastes 1:9. And I certainly agree with that. Nothing new under the sun. Lots of things appear to be new, but if you dwell on them, you find out that they are simply old patterns with a, or an old package with a new ribbon on them. Oh, anyway, we do have indicators of what's going on today. It comes right out of the Bible. We have Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. They all tell us about things that are going to happen. We know what is going to happen. We don't need new revelations or anything. The Bible tells us. There's going to be a lot going on, that's for sure, before the end of, and let's see. So we have people who are very comfortable to look at those passages and see where we are on the timeline. And I don't think we can do it. I just don't. But some people say we look at those, like here it is. Wars and rumors of wars. Well, that's been going on for 100 years. Longer. Well, anyway, it says wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation. And yeah, look at those battles. Kingdom against kingdom, which I see as God versus Satan and good versus bad. And then there will be famines. I mean, some gigantic one. But there already have been gigantic ones where millions and millions have died from famine. In Southeast Asia, in Africa, famines. Okay. The next one is pestilences. And there are people who want to say, you mean like COVID-19 or other coronaviruses? Yeah. How about SARS? Sure. Bird flu? Yes. AIDS? Polio? Smallpox? What are pestilences? Okay, so those are going to happen, or have happened. And then earthquakes. Earthquakes are an indicator that is pretty evident. There have been some gigantic earthquakes in the last 20 years. Maybe it's 25. Ones that we had not seen earthquakes that large for hundreds of years, as a general rule. But so all these things are going to happen, and these are the beginning of sorrows. So when are we going to get raptured out of here anyway? Well, that's a big debate, isn't it? We don't know. We really don't know. Those are the beginnings of troubles, and in Scripture, we know there is a rapture, but we're not clear on when. And that is just so obvious. A few, like three weeks ago, I was listening to a Christian author, Joel Richardson, and he said that most of the scriptures used to support a pre-trib rapture were taken out of context. Now, a lot of people respect what Joel Richardson has to say. And so I kind of remembered that he said that, because that's a really big thing to say. When is the rapture? Oh boy, big question. A lot of disagreement. What about all the things that are going to take place? Well, we do have events going on. We have them going on today. Oh yes, we do. Look at China and Russia. They each want to dominate the world, and they are moving politically and militarily to be in a position to dominate the world. And that includes the United States of America. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it means it's a movement to happen. And, well, yeah, let's see. You know, just a few days ago, China launched a hypersonic missile that went across the U.S. And our military experts were unprepared for that. They did not know it was coming, and they said that we would be unable to defend against a hypersonic missile from China. So that's one of the factors that are going on when we consider China and Russia and what their plans are. Yes, and let's see, it was a couple of months ago, China and Russia held joint military maneuvers in northern China. That's kind of new. So should we feel threatened by that? Well, we ought to watch out for sure. And I just told you about the hypersonic missile that China launched. Well, for about 2 years, Russia has had its hypersonic missiles also. And I remember at a conference where it was shown on video, President Putin, showed a tape to his representatives, and they all cheered to see what Russia's missiles could do to the United States when he showed that to the Duma. And 3 years ago, well, it's been 2 years and 3 years ago, China's President Xi told its military to be prepared to die for the honor of China. Well, there's things going on. Lots of things going on. Some of it is propaganda to make a position known, and some of it are real threats. We've had real threats. Oh, remember the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis? That was a real threat, and the United States almost went to Russia. Went to war with Russia over that one. Before that, we had an indicator. Oh, this year, I'm going to read this. In 1959, Russia's Khrushchev told America, "We will bury you." And he said that your children will live under communism. Americans are so gullible, they will not accept communism, but you, Americans, will accept socialism given in small doses until your economy is so weak that you will fall into the hands of communism. You will fall like an overripe fruit. And he concluded by saying, "We will bury you." You know, in a grave. So those are things that have gone on. And will the people in Russia and China change? Or is that really who they are? Do they want to bury the United States? Well, yeah, because they believe their ideology is the correct and best ideology for the world. And besides, as they spread their ideology, they get more and more power, and that's what they want. However, there's some people who would not agree. And they are willing to go to war. Are we? Are we willing to go to war to save our freedom? I just wonder about it. You know, if you want peace, you either have to have peace through strength, or you have to surrender and give up your freedom, and then you will have peace. But you will also have nothing else. Doesn't that just remind you of Patrick Henry? Patrick Henry, 1775, to the Virginia legislature. He made that speech. Everybody knows the last line of that one. "Is life so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." So let me tell you what was going on then. Immediately before he gave that speech, British warships were spotted off the coast. They were pretty much on the horizon, and they were coming to teach a lesson to those rebellious American colonies. But because the winds were uncertain, no one knew if those British warships would land right there in Virginia or if they would be blown to the south. The British warships were blown to the south, but there was a decision to be made, and Patrick Henry was speaking what decision had to be made. Were we going to fight for our freedom, or were we going to be living as slaves, really? The American colonies had tried to negotiate peace and fair trade terms with the King of England for at least 10 years, maybe 15 years, but the king, in all cases, refused to compromise. And so the Americans, many of them, were ready and prepared to fight for their freedom, to have liberty under God and under God's reign. That's really what the revolution was about. So there were big problems coming, and the American America people, they saw that, and they were very concerned with having a freedom to worship God. That was the first part of it. But they also wanted freedom to trade, freedom to get goods and sell their products. It was a big concern about freedom and liberty. And you know, there's people today who have that same concern. And I was just listening to Candace Owens, and she is concerned about America, too. You know that she is a conservative speaker, commentator. And, oh, let's see. She said, "What's it going to take, America, for this nation to wake up?" And she continued, "You do not have much time left." And what she said was as though she were expecting a famine to come. Oh, yeah, she said she is talking about being prepared with enough food to last months or even years for herself and her family. So it's just interesting when somebody, like I said, she is a very intelligent woman. I appreciate that about her very much. But when I hear people with that kind of an intellect talk about getting prepared and having months, if not years, of food, it just makes me think. So, by the way, it sounds like a lot because we get it in small plastic or paper bags. That's how we get our food. But if we were going to have grains,
a 55 gallons drums will hold about 250 pounds of wheat. And that's about how much one person would need if wheat was their primary diet. And then you'd need another 55-gallon drum to have your sugar, salt, and oil and vitamins in, and flavorings to make your food taste interesting. You'd need a hand grinder. You'd need a water filter, like a big Berkey. You'd need bleach to purify a few drops per gallon of water. You'd need a post hole digger to dig your latrine. It needs things to cook, matches and a camp stove. Warm clothes is essential. And then flashlights and batteries. Now that's a very partial list. Every list is partial, and nobody is going to have a complete list. It's just that we do something and we find out what the important things are for us to have. I know there's people who say you need a gun. Okay, maybe you do. I don't. That's your decision. But you need food. Food is essential. And a way to have clean water. Those are essential. And everything else, well, figure it out. I think that we need a backpack also, because if there was an event like a grid down situation where electrical grid goes down with a coronal mass ejection or an EMP, it could happen. Or there could be a mega earthquake or a super volcanic eruption. And these things have happened in history, and they can happen again. So get a few things. Also, have a backpack for every member of your family. Oh, and a watchman's cap so you can keep your head warm. Those are very important. So you want these things, and just go through an exercise and pretend that you were going to go on your very last trip to the store for months. What would you buy? Would it be flashlight batteries or a first aid kit or backpacks or a water container? It's just everybody has their own opinion. And so it's just a little exercise that I hope you just do. Think about, what if this was the last day that you were going to go to your store and you only had as much money as you have? You don't want to get into debt. But what would you buy? What are the things that you think are essential? So we know people in history have gone through hard times. We know that we can too. And if any of these big things happen, we are going to be hungry, cold, and thirsty. So think about having some provision for that. And remember, they went through this. Our relatives went through this. Our forefathers in America went through hard times of hunger, cold, and thirst. So we know we can too. And even today, Christian people all around the world are going through hunger, cold, and thirst. So yes, we can do it too. But we have a chance to be prepared for that just in case. Get a few things. That's what I think. I'm so glad you listened today. And remember, you can listen to any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. And I am very glad to send you my free preparedness pamphlet if you send me a self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.